now, live from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
Thanks, Scott Van Dusen, our erstwhile announcer. You know, I probably should stop mentioning his name because we're getting very close to the end of the road. And I think there's going to be an effort to round up people who have been... I know, it sounds very paranoid, right? Round up people who have been speaking out for justice in this country. We're very close to a religious takeover. A fascist religious takeover, all by Christians. I worry for liberals and progressives, socialists, Jews, Muslims, gay folk, uppity women, racial minorities. Now, of course, if we all banded together, we'd be okay, wouldn't we, against what's coming. Now, I'm not trying to sound like Alex Jones. I mean, I may be crazy, but I'm not fucking insane like he is. But what got me thinking about this, there was a demonstration at Maxine Waters' house in California at some point today. And word got out that this group of radical Christian maniacs called the Oath Keepers. You heard of them? Those are people who allegedly, they're all men, who allegedly, all white men, who allegedly had worked in law enforcement of some sort or who had been in the military, preferably in combat, because they know what's coming. They know what they're going to instigate. So word got out that these people were heading from Maxine Waters' house in California to demonstrate their disfavor with her constantly speaking out about justice and equality under the law. Oath Keepers don't like that. They are fascist pigs, just like everybody else who is in the ascendancy right now. Now, Oath Keepers it was crapped out of the Promise Keepers. Remember the Promise Keepers from about, what, 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago? Promise Keepers. These are all white men who allegedly were all family men. And the promise was they're going to live godly lives as laid out, I guess, in the Old Testament, which is not their religion anyway. I don't know why these Christians keep fucking around with the Old Testament. That's not yours, you assholes. You've got the New Testament. The Old Testament belongs to the Jews, and that's more of a fantastical history of the Jews. A lot of it's true. But a lot of it, you know, Ezekiel saw the wheel and all this other shit and, you know, burning bushes and talking rocks. And but anyway, the Promise Keepers were that group of white men whose promise was, there were several layers of the promise. They'd stop beating their wives, they'd stop beating their children, they'd stop drinking and doing drugs, they'd stop being lazy fuckers, they would stop just being shits around the house. And what they would do, they would become manly and godly. And pledge, and I don't know how they did this. The way it worked, these Christian men are supposed to lovingly submit to their wives, but retain control over them. It's really fucked up. Well, the Promise Keepers kind of faded. And then all of a sudden, I started hearing about the Oath Keepers that I just mentioned. Now, as Maxine Waters pointed out today, when she found out that these thugs were heading her way, these radical fucks have formed militias all around the country. All around the country. And the Oath Keepers, that organization is comprised of people, not like these Yahoos who wander around with their AK or their AR-15s. No, the Oath Keepers have had experience in using weaponry and killing people, either killing people in countries that we have invaded and destroyed, or killing people here in the United States vis-a-vis law enforcement. So this is what we're up against. The revelations about Maria, what's Maria's last name? Butina. The revelations about Maria Butina are more clear indications about how the fascist right in this country and in Europe and in Russia is totally in bed with and lustily fucking the Christians, and they're fucking right back. Oh, it's a mutual fuck society between these fascists, the political fascists, and the Christian fascists. It's crazy. Crazy. And the thing that is real stomach churning to me is the fact that even though I'm not prescient, you don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing. You really don't. But this is something I mentioned this last night. I think it was last night. Something I've been observing for three decades. This incremental march or incremental theft of liberty, real liberty. I don't mean freedom from having health care. That's what these right-wing fascists call it. Well, you got to be free. You got to be free from the homosexual agenda. You have to be free from having health care. You have to be free from having a job. But watching these incremental steps of slicing away at the Bill of Rights, slicing away at the constitutional guarantees that the framers put into our documents, and replacing civil authority. There's a real attempt, and it is succeeding, a real attempt to replace civil authority with religious authority. That's pretty weird, you know, because we have been told, if we're stupid enough to believe it, of course, I'm just saying we've been told that the religion we had to watch out for were those goddamn Muslims. You know, they were going to institute Sharia law in the United States. No, not even. The Christian fundamentalists want to go back to Mosaic law, the real fucking brutal kind, you know, where there is no mercy. You know, the way I read the Bible as a kid growing up, young person growing up, was that the Christian Messiah came to ameliorate that horrendous Mosaic law that said, you know, you fuck up once, we cut your head off. You fuck up twice, we cut your kid's head off. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff. When you look at Leviticus or Deuteronomy or some of the books of law in what the Christians call the Old Testament, I think the Jews call it Torah. But if you look at some of the rules, some of the requirements, I mean, they could fucking kill you if you drank goat's milk and ate a piece of beef at the same time. Gone. So, all right, that's an extreme example, but I use it as an extreme example. So I've been watching this for the better part of three and a half decades, this slide away from civil law and into religious law, and we're very, very close. Now, here's an example. The American Fascist Party today, there was a vote today in the United States House of Representatives, and the House fascists voted down an effort by the Democratic Party to increase election security spending. The American Fascist Party said, fuck it, no. In other words, the American Fascist Party will not provide the funding to secure our whole apparatus of voting. And we have an election coming up in, what, 3-4 months? They won't do it. Because the American Fascists, a.k.a. the Republican Party, they know that Putin and his alliance with the Russian Orthodox Christian Church will be much more effective at destroying democracy and representative government in this country if the American fascists just leave them alone. Just don't get in their way. In a vote along party lines, according to the Washington Post, Republicans rejected Democrats' motion for more funding. Unmoved by Democrats' vigorous pleas and chants of USA, USA on the House floor. What the fuck? Yeah, these are Democrats. You know, the party that is not fascist. It's just stupid, the stupid party. And of course, all of this shit's going on. This focus on Russians, on election security, as you know, is coming right in this avalanche of revelations over the interference in our so-called democratic system by the Russians. And this funding vote today that was killed came just the days after Trump appeared to accept Putin's contention that Russia did not intervene in the 2016 presidential race. Or, let's see, a few hours have gone by since he said, no, they didn't, were involved. He's probably said, yeah, they were involved. No, they weren't involved. Yeah, they were involved. No, they were involved. See, Trump is fucking crazy. I'm not saying he's chewed the furniture crazy or run through a mall naked with a knife stabbing people crazy. Trump is a different, a more subdued kind of crazy. But his crazy is very infectious. Trump is a carrier of insanity on various levels. Schizophrenia, paranoia, delusions, narcissism. Representative Mike Quigley, a Democrat of Illinois, declared ahead of the vote that was murdered by the American Fascist Party in the U.S. House today. This is what Quigley said, quote, "Now's the time to double down on our efforts to prevent election hacking. The American people are watching." Representative Quigley, I'm sorry. No, they're not. They're not even paying fucking attention. Are you serious? If Representative Quigley, the American public was watching, we would have ended this shit months ago. We would have taken to the streets by the tens of millions. We would have fucking demanded an end to this. But we haven't, and we won't. So, Representative Mike Quigley, the American people are not watching. And he went on to say, and we must ensure that we, unlike our president, are on the right side of history at this pivotal moment in our democracy. Oh, give me a fucking break. What is that? We have to be on the right side of history at this pivotal moment in our God damn. Why doesn't Quigley just come right out and say it? We're rolling downhill toward a great big vat of boiling fascism. Come on, Quigley, wake the fuck up. On the right side of history at this pivotal moment. Anyway, Republicans said that the Democrats' efforts were just theatrics. Yeah. The House Ways and Means Committee Chairperson Kevin Brady of Texas, this is what he said. He said, quote, over the past decade, we've seen billions of dollars funded by Republicans and Democrats in our bipartisan appropriations each year to do exactly that, secure elections here at home. Well, let me ask you something, you dumb fuck. Has it worked? No. So why are you referencing bipartisan spending bills over the past decade? It hasn't worked, you dumb shit, or we wouldn't be where we are now. Oh, never mind. This is what I mean by fascists. They are slick motherfuckers, boy, I'll tell you. And Representative Jim Jordan, who is going to wind up in court over his role in the sexual molestation of Ohio State University wrestlers that Jim Jordan knew about. He probably watched. I wouldn't be surprised if Jim Jordan, being the crazy fucker that he is, if he didn't cut a hole maybe in one of the piss stalls or something where he could peek in and, you know, watch the wrestler's private parts. But Jim Jordan, who is one of the leaders of the conservative House Freedom Caucus, we want to be free from all this bullshit about wrestlers being molested. If they've been molested, fuck them. He discounted. Jim Jordan said, nah, we don't need any more money. He said, quote, I know what we need for safe and secure elections, and that's voter ID. Hey, fucking A. Voter ID. Goddamn. What, Jim, you dumb fuck? The Russians should have voter ID cards? I have ID card. I can tamper with your machines. Oh, this crazy bastards. Oh, my God. What else? Oh, yeah. Senate Majority Leader Mitch the Turtle McConnell announced today that he was giving a job to the chairman of the Banking and Foreign Relations Committees. And he's told them to hold hearings on possible sanctions legislation and recommending any additional measures that could deter Russian interference that Trump will quickly tell you is not happening. Russian interference in our electoral system. Yeah. Hold some hearings, boys. Woo! Now, this is kind of interesting. The Federal Election Assistance Commission, it's a government agency that administers the Election Security Grant Program, the money, to states. Well, that commission currently has only 2 out of 4 commissioners, not enough to form a quorum or a minion to approve new voluntary voting system guidelines against which voting systems can be tested to determine if they meet required standards. There's not enough people because they haven't been appointed on this commission to even fucking talk about this. And all that money that this freak fuck Jim Jordan talks about, the bulk of that $3.6 billion that was authorized under the Help America Vote Act. Remember that? Which was passed in the wake of the theft of the presidency by George Bush, and this crazy fucker that Trump has nominated to the Supreme Court. He was one of the people who assisted in the theft of the presidency in 2000. Yeah, he was. He's going to be Supreme Court Justice, too. Anyway, that was passed in the year 2000. And that $3.6 billion was sent to states over a decade ago to upgrade their voting systems. And now those systems need new upgrades. Of course, I guess I'm just a Luddite of the highest order when it comes to voting, you know, because I don't like the idea of voting machines, especially these touch screen abominations. Huh? You have them in your state? Yeah, we have them here. And there's absolutely no record of how you voted, except on the screen. After you've completed the ballot and you click finish or whatever, a new screen comes up and says, "Congratulations, you have voted. Now get the fuck out of here." Then there's maniacal laughter that comes. No, I'm just kidding about that part. But there's, you have no, receipt about what you did. When you leave the precinct, they give you a little sticker with a Georgia peach on it that says, "I voted." No, you didn't. You didn't vote, Mr. Malloy. What you did was play vote. You pretended that you were voting. That's such a cynical point of view, Mr. Mike. I mean, for heaven's sake. This is America. You don't really believe, do you, Mike, that all that touching and shifting and shit, you know, and congratulations, you voted. You don't think for a moment, you cynical old bastard, do you, that that's not a real vote that really gets counted? Anyway, election experts, it says here, note that the law passed in response to the 2000 presidential fuck-up, did not foresee the challenges facing elections today. But you remember all that, don't you? Do you remember? We are the land of the free and the home of the forgetful. I wonder how many people, let's see, 2000, that was, goddamn, it was 18 years ago, right? I wonder how many people remember all those terms, hanging chads, pregnant chads, dimpled chads. I like the pregnant chads. That was really cool. Now, that's not all that the American Fascist Party did today. Republicans or fascists on the House Intelligence Committee, you know, Representative Nunes's little sandbox, right? They voted today to reject a motion put out by the Democrats to subpoena the American interpreter. She's bilingual or trilingual or quadrilingual, the American interpreter, who was, other than this fuckwad Trump, the only American who sat in on that little one-on-one meeting. There was a Russian translator and an American translator. She's the only person on earth who could tell the American public in English what she translated. Now, there are recordings of that 2.5 hours. We won't, not for America, but for the Ruskies. See, the Russians have been practicing this shit for 70 years, 80 years. I'm sorry, 100 years. I made that same mistake last night, didn't I? Keep forgetting the Russian Revolution. God damn, it was 101 years ago? Woo! Anyway, they're experts at this shit. I mean, say what you like about the Russians. I don't care. You know, a lot of people in this country now are going, "Oh, what the fuck's the deal with the Russians? They're just other white people. I mean, you know, they're Christian, they're white. What do you want?" Yeah, right. Okay. We'll stipulate that they're Christian and they're white. Now, they're also experts in sabotage. They're experts in mind manipulation. They're experts in intelligence gathering. They're experts in spycraft. They're experts in slow spycraft. Now, what that means, they don't send people over in trench coats who still have a thick Russian accent. No. They start these people when they're like 8 years old in Russia, and they learn English, American English, unless they're going to go to England or Scotland or Ireland. Then they learn UK English. But if they're coming here, they start learning American English at a very young age. So by the time they're in their late teens, early 20s, they speak conversational American English to the same degree that you do and I do. Not with the heavy Russian accent, no. Now, Maria, what's your last name? Butina? B-U-T? Butina. Butina. Maria Butina, she still has a little bit of, you know. And the other thing is, you know, the gestures, the body shit that the Russians do, except Trump, except Putin. Putin doesn't do that because he was a KGB expert. He has learned no body language other than that sneer of his. But, you know, the Russians, there's expressions. And if you get in a conversation with someone who's speaking perfect English, and all of a sudden you notice that they're using hand movements and head movements that, where have you seen that before? Oh, yeah, in the movies about Russian bad guys. Ooh, where was I? So by the time these students of American history and American English are, say, 20, 21, 22 years old, and they've been very well taken care of, their families are very well taken care of, then they are sent to the United States. Now, usually they will come over on a student visa, like Maria did. Come over as a student and then just, you know, get your degree and, you know, get a job. Slow espionage. The Russians are in no hurry. 10, 15, 20 years might go by before these Russian nationals are called upon to fulfill what the GRU or the NKVD or the KGB or whatever the fuck it's called now, the Russian spy / intelligence agencies, what they want them to do. So they may be here for 10 years. They're married. They have kids in the second grade. They're members of the PTA. They go to church on Sunday. They have a driver's license. Ah! They shop at the Kroger or Food Giant or whatever the hell it is, right? They go to the beach in the summer. Eh! So you can bet your ass and any other part of your anatomy that in the little meeting between two interpreters and Trump and Putin, there were video recordings made, digital sound recordings made. The video recordings were made to track with almost as if he were wired up the body language of Trump. Because that's another thing that the Russian spy people are experts at, reading body language. This gesture may mean confidence. This gesture indicates fear. This gesture indicates uncertainty. You know, the whole thing. So there have been, and they do exist, recordings of all sorts of that meeting. Except for us. Nothing. So the Democrats said, we've got to know what went on in that meeting. It was 2.5 hours, and Putin is an expert of taking a chump fuck like Trump and just wringing him dry. We've got to know what Trump gave up. So the Democrats came up with a very reasonable, rational idea. Let's bring in the American interpreter. We'll subpoena her, put her under oath, and ask her some questions. What did the Republicans say? How do you say fuck no in Russian? That's what the Republicans said. Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat on that committee, is the one who introduced the motion. During a public hearing on China's threats to the American government. Oh, it's really happening. On China's threats to the American government, Schiff said, quote, "It is our motion that the interpreter be subpoenaed to come and testify in closed session before a committee." Closed session. You know, we don't want the Americans to know this shit. Why the fuck should Americans know this? We'll do it in closed session. Executive session. Schiff argued that this interpreter person probably witnessed key exchanges between the master manipulator, Putin, and this weak-kneed little fucker, Trump. And the interpreter would know exactly what it was that Trump gave away. But the American Fascist Party in the House said, "Nyet, nyet." Schiff said, quote, "I regret that we have to request this in today's meeting about China's threats. We requested a business meeting next week, but that request has been declined. This may be our last opportunity before we go into an extended recess to vote to subpoena the interpreter and find out if there are any other national security problems that arose from this meeting." End quote, Adam Schiff. Well, there were two chances of either of those votes I just mentioned succeeding. Slim and none. The country is run by Christian fascist, political fascist maniacs. They just haven't made their presence known as to the degree that they exist yet. But it's coming. Just like Maxine Waters said, the Oath Keepers have formed militias all over the fucking country. And they're just waiting for that time to come when they step out of the shadows with their guns in one hand and their Bibles in the other. And they come looking for people who they think are apostate or traitors or who are not willing to become a good white American Christian fascist. I have a new sympathy after all these years. I read 1984 three times and once on a radio program. So I've read it cover to cover four times. And the past year and a half has given me a new appreciation, or sympathy, I think is the right word, for Winston Smith, for his mental state prior to the rat cage incident. I mean, his mental state at the very beginning of the novel. What is it? The clocks were striking 13 when Winston Smith made his way crunching through the snow or something to the Ministry of Truth. Ministry of Truth, is that where he worked? Mini True? But I have a whole new empathy. That's the word I'm looking for. For what the character in that novel felt. I have seen, and you have too if you've been paying attention, the two-minute hate. And didn't they have a week-long hate also? But the two-minute hate, was that every day? I forget. But the two-minute hate where they would put Goldstein's big photograph up on the wall. Nice-looking gentleman, nice bushy beard, pleasant look. And they would scream and curse and yell because Goldstein was the one that was trying to subvert Big Brother. Donald Trump practices the two-minute hate every fucking time. Watch when he holds these rallies. Now, they're limited to a particular audience in Marshfield, Wisconsin, or Lima, Ohio, or Poughkeepsie, New York. You know, they're limited, 1,000 people, 800, 2,000. But there it is. There it is, the two-minute hate. And if you take your eyes off of that crazy fucker who's whipping people up and look at the people that he has stacked behind him, look at the expressions on their faces, the ones that aren't laughing. Look at the ones with the wide-eyed, almost as if they're sexually aroused by lock her up. Lock her up. Kill her! Let's take a break. That's the first time I've yelled, and we're already 36 minutes into the podcast. So let's take a break, and I will calm down. We'll be right back. I don't know quite what to say, but I'm worried for myself, and if I'm hungry, don't want to die like a dead dog. Yes, we are. Prairie 2, Bruce, sent me a quick email here. He maintains, well, he says, you can bet money that the American interpreter was not actually present during the meeting. The Republicans are probably aware of this. Well, Putin does speak English, doesn't he? One more thing to ponder. Oh, and this happened today also. You know, I've been talking and talking and talking and talking. It seems like for most of my life, about the slow destruction of the Bill of Rights or the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. How about this one? This is from Politico. The House voted today 217 to 199, almost party line vote. They voted to make it harder for the government to punish churches that get involved in politics. This is what I'm talking about. Lawmakers, the fascists approved legislation barring the Internal Revenue Service from revoking the tax-exempt status of churches that back specific political candidates. This was buried in a budget measure setting IRS funding for the upcoming year. This is what these sneaky fuckers do. This is what the Hitlerites did. This is what the Stalinists did. This is what the American Fascist Party is doing. Big-ass budget measure, and buried down in there where nobody could see it was this provision. And it amounts to what Politico calls a backdoor way around the so-called Johnson Amendment, a half-century-old prohibition on nonprofits getting involved in political campaign activities. Johnson? I mean, fuck the Johnson Amendment. What about the First Amendment? Anyway, let me see where this goes. I haven't read this. I just pulled it off the computer. Anyway, this vote came as Senate Democrats forced a temporary postponement of a Finance Committee confirmation vote on Trump's pick to run the IRS. Trump's pick to run the IRS. Oh my God. Who is it? One of his fucked up sons? Trump has vowed to, his words, totally destroy the Johnson Amendment, which was named after then-Senator Lyndon Johnson, who pushed it through Congress in 1954. Republicans tried unsuccessfully last year to repeal the provision. This year, they got it. Now, to show you how sneaky these fuckers are, as Politico puts it, targeting the prohibition, the Johnson, targeting it through the budgetary process is sure to be controversial in the Senate. Republicans there did not include the proviso in their draft of the IRS, but it wasn't there. And Senator Ron Wyden, top Democrat on the tax committee, pledged today to, quote, use every tool at my disposal to prevent that from happening, end quote. House Ways and Means Chairman, Republican fascist Kevin Brady, says that the ban ought to be fully and permanently repealed. He said, we want our faith leaders to be able to exercise their free speech without having to look over their shoulder about what Washington might be intimidating them about. See how they do this? See how this works? Among the organizations that have been on Congress's ass to get rid of this so that a preacher can stand in the church, in the pulpit, and more or less say, if you don't vote for this fascist party member, I'll see to it that God casts your rotten ass into hell. And besides, when I was doing my evening prayers last night, Jesus told me to tell you to vote for the fascist. Kevin Brady talks about these fucking preachers to exercise their free speech. Don't you want to walk up to Kevin Brady and say, hey, you dumb shit, have you never heard of the First Amendment? Among those who have been working their asses off to get this done are the Christian Coalition of America, Family Research Council, National Religious Broadcasters, and more, according to disclosure forms. Huh? Kevin Brady also defended the relaxed disclosure requirements. He said, quote, that information was never needed by the IRS to do their job. Unfortunately, it had opened up avenues for abuse where the IRS could target Americans based on their political beliefs. That's another one of those insane fucking memes that got out. It escaped. It came out of the fevered brain of these goddamn rotten Christians. Ah, we're being targeted because of our beliefs. What is it? I've asked this a million times, and I never get an answer, and I never will. But I'll try it again. What is it about American Christians that they insist, and they demonstrate their insistence, that they are so fucking persecuted? They're so put upon. They're the last minority that it's fair to denigrate. What the fuck are they talking about? But you know how many evangelical Christians who go to the church, go to their churches on Sunday and put money in the collection plate, if they still do that, and sing their fucking hymns. You know how many of those people believe it? That they are part of a persecuted minority in the United States? In addition, under the previous IRS rule, nonprofits like churches had to report the names of people giving $5,000 or more. Not anymore! The new guidelines still require the groups who receive the money to keep that information internally and be able to provide it in case there's an audit, but they don't have to report it to a single fucking government agency. The thing that is very disturbing to me is that this is happening right out in the open. Oh, I know. They bury these amendments deep in an appropriations bill or a defense spending bill or some other horseshit. But there are enough of us talking about this. Now, I grant you that I don't think there's anybody out there on the left or in the real free press who get as fucking riled up and as violent as I do, verbally violent about this stuff. But it's being talked about, right? I mean, sometimes it's talked about in kind of a dramatic, theatrical way, which our good friend, for example, Rachel Maddow, she has become very attuned to the camera. I'm not saying I don't love her. I love her to death. And Lawrence O'Donnell with that little boy smile of his when he's about to tell you that, I don't know, he reminds me of maybe a surgeon who comes in after surgery and says, well, Mr. Malloy, you have cancer all through your body. You're going to die in, what time is it? Very quickly. You know, that theatrical shit, right? So it is being talked about. It may be screamed like I do with violent, vile language and filthy words and, you know, the frothing and screaming. It may be presented theatrically, as you will find some of the people on MSNBC. It may be done in a comedic way, which I really appreciate, like what Sam Cedar does and his crew. It may be pointed like Ring of Fire broadcasters. There's about 12 of us that go to Ring of Fire website and you'll see everybody up there. So it is being talked about. This encroachment, this destruction. But I think Maddow knows it. I think O'Brien knows it. Or, I mean, O'Donnell. I think Sam Cedar knows it. I certainly know it. I think anybody who's broadcasting even slightly from the left knows that we're preaching to the choir. And our choir is not the type of choir that can be activated the way these crazy religious fuckers can be activated. All you have to do to get the religious right just totally aroused in a bad way is to tell them that there's a restaurant, say, in East Bumfuck, Illinois, or wherever, who refuse service to two men who came in holding hands. And these religious right fuckers will jump to the defense of the restaurant, not of the two citizens of the United fucking States who had the absolute temerity to hold hands, which is very common in Saudi Arabia. Men hold hands. Remember all the pictures of Sultan bin Sultan or whoever the fuck he was and George W. Bush walking around holding hands? Dee, 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 dee. But in this country, the religious crazy fuckers, these Christian insane people, they see two men holding hands. Well, they must be fucking each other, too. And if they're doing that, oh, my God, you realize how they're doing it? Oh, don't. I didn't want to think about it. It has to stop or my religious freedom is being destroyed. They can't get married, these queers, because it destroys the institution of marriage. No, the Christians are doing a good job of that. Madness. All right, we're going to take a break here at the top of the hour. And when we come back, I'm going to share something with you about Bernie Sanders that is from... I'm borrowing this from Paul Harvey. Any of you old enough to remember Paul Harvey? Right-wing fucker who used to be on the air. You remember Paul Harvey? And now, for the rest of the story. Paul Harvey had a segment he would do every once in a while called From Our For What It's Worth Department. Remember that? Yeah, he was a real right-wing son of a bitch. I used to listen to him when I was a kid because my parents did. And when I was a teenager, and I didn't know he was as right-wing crazy as, you know, until my awareness, until my consciousness got above butt level 3 and up here where, oh, my God, is that what he's saying? But Paul Harvey at one time was the most listened to broadcaster in the history of broadcasting. No, he really was. Really was. And... So I'm going to borrow that momentarily here from the Malloy podcast For What It's Worth department. And it concerns Bernie Sanders. So stick around.
She's always late for chapel,
but her penitence is real.
She's always late for everything,
except for every meal.
I hate to have to say it, but I very firmly feel
Maria's not an asset to the Abbey.
I'd like to say a word in her behalf.
And say it, Sister Margareta.
Maria makes me laugh.
How do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you catch a cloud and pin it down?
How do you find a word that means Maria?
A flippity
what is that you're playing?
Will-o'-the-wisp.
A clown.
No, I don't want to listen to it.
Many a thing you know you'd like to tell her. Many a thing she ought to understand.
Now, we're going to be on the air tomorrow night, right? Okay. Molly is in another play. Probably the worst musical ever written, in my opinion. And that's Godspell. Godspell. The shortened version. It's not the plays that Molly does, like when she did Guys and Dolls. It was a abridged version. The only play that she has done that was the same as the original production was Scrooge. And she got paid for that. $25. But Godspell is what they're doing. I think they have 6 performances. And Molly went in for the auditions. Here's how they audition with this theater group. They bring all the actors who want a part in a particular play. They bring them all in, and they don't have them audition a particular part. They have them sing and dance and maybe do a monologue, a very brief monologue or something that has nothing to do with the play that is going to be put up by the company. And they do that. And then they come back the next day, which gives the producer the director and the choreographer a chance to decide who's going to have what. So Molly went in for the audition, and I said, boy, I hope you don't get the Jesus part. And she said, wouldn't that be funny? So the next day when she came home, I said, what part did you get? She said, Judas. Judas. Which we all thought was very, very funny. Yes, we did. Judas. All right. From our For What It's Worth department. And I mean that literally. I don't know what this means, but here we go. And it's not a fake story. This comes from Raw Story website. Travis Geddes is the one who wrote this. And I have used his stuff over the years. I remember when Raw Story first was put together, although I have to admit the woman who helped put it together was Russian. Larissa Batamanova or something. Yeah, I had lots of conversations with Larissa. And she was Russian. Oh, no. Remember? Great woman. I really liked her. I don't think we ever met her. But I had many conversations with her.
Don't want to meet any of them.
Yeah, I'm afraid to meet a Russian now. Anyway, Travis Geddes put this up at Raw Story. Here's what it says. The chief strategist for the Bernie Sanders campaign was in contact with Paul Manafort and a Russian alleged spy also indicted in the special counsel probe, according to new court filings. Tad Devine, remember him? Remember that name? He helped run the primary campaign for Bernie Sanders. Tad Devine shows up 16 times in a list of nearly 500 evidence exhibits published last night by prosecutors in the Manafort case and reported by the Washington Post and then picked up by Raw Story. The former campaign chairman for Trump, that would be Manafort, and Tad Devine, the primary campaign chair for Bernie Sanders, worked together nearly a decade ago for former Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych and his pro-Kremlin Party of Regions. That's what it was called, Party of Regions. And the pair, Tad Devine and Manafort, remained in contact until at least 2014. According to the new court filing, Manafort and Devine communicated by email through June 2014, about 5 months before Devine joined the Sanders campaign that November. Devine and Bernie Sanders had worked together on campaigns in the 1990s, and the Democratic strategist, Devine, has also worked as a campaign aide to Al Gore, John Kerry, and Michael Dukakis. The evidence list published by federal prosecutors, that would be the Mueller group, also shows that Devine was in contact until at least 2014 with Manafort's longtime lieutenant, Rick Gates, who has pled guilty in the special counsel probe and agreed to cooperate. And Devine was in contact with the person referred to as Manafort's Russian brain, Konstantin Kilimnik. We've mentioned him before, too. Kilimnik, who U.S. investigators say has current ties to Russian intelligence, was indicted last month along with Manafort on obstruction and conspiracy to obstruct justice charges. Let me see here. The evidence in the upcoming trial shows Manafort communicated with Tad Devine, Bernie's primary campaign manager, about their work for Yanukovych, who fled to Russia following his ouster. He was he took off in 2014, Yanukovych, following widespread protests. Remember what was that called? The Orange Revolution or the what was it called? Yeah, I forget. Anyway, Manafort communicated with Devine about their work for Yanukovych, who fled Russia, blah, 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 and other issues related to the Ukraine political activity. The document lists only email or memo subject lines, such as election night speech, job well done, Ukraine trip. But in the filings by Mueller's office, no additional information about those communications. Now, according to the Washington Post and Raw Story, Devine backed away from his work for Yanukovych after Yanukovych began cracking down on dissent, although he, Devine, evidently remained in contact with his former colleagues. Sanders' campaign manager, not the primary, but the campaign manager, Jeff Weaver, reportedly asked Devine to use his connections to Manafort to set up a debate with then-candidate Trump, who apparently liked the idea, but the campaign strategist never called back to discuss the proposition. So, like I say, from the For What It's Worth part, what do you suppose that means? We do know how it's going to be used, don't we? Huh? I'm surprised it hasn't been all over the Fox sewer. Of course, I don't watch the Fox sewer. Huh? What? Hannity talked about it? Oh, see, it's Bernie Sanders who had the Russian connection, not Hannity's personal god, Donald Trump. I don't know if you saw this today, but there is something that goes on in Aspen, Colorado, called the Aspen Security Forum. Frankly, I've never heard of it before, which is an indication of how ignorant your humble and obedient servant is here. But the Aspen Security Forum, I don't know who attends it. I don't know what it's set up for, but it's going on right now. And during that event, Andrea Mitchell of NBC and MSNBC was out there along with a bunch of news people. And she had an interview today with Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence. And Dan Coats was on stage in front of a live audience and being live telecast. At this forum, in the middle of an interview with NBC's Andrea Mitchell, who told him about Trump inviting Putin to the United States. I come to your house now. You come to mine. You want to have a sleepover? Coates, when Andrea Mitchell told him that, Coates took a deep breath and said, "Say that again? Did I hear you?" And Andrea Mitchell repeated it. Coates said, "Okay, that's going to be special." Coates said he would have advised against Trump and Putin's private meeting in Helsinki, which worried, U.S. security officials, because no notes were taken and nobody other than the Russians and the interpreters, maybe the American interpreter, know. The Russians know what was said. The Russians know everything about what happened. But we don't. He said he, Dan Coates, said he had not been consulted about that meeting. When he heard about it, he was like, no, wait. Because whether we appreciate Dan Coates or not, and for the most part, I don't, he knows that Trump is an ignorant savage, and he knows that Vladimir Putin is a fucking spy, subversive genius who can take Donald Trump's bloated little body and just twist it into whatever shape he wants to, and did. So anyway, Coates acknowledged also that he didn't know and hasn't been told what happened in that meeting. And Andrea Mitchell asked him if it was possible that Putin had secretly recorded the two-hour meeting. Oh, give me a fucking break here. And Coates replied, that risk is always there. you know, surely to God, Andrea Mitchell, who's been around since God was a teenager, surely Andrea Mitchell did not have to ask that question. Maybe she just asked it so it would be out there, so Coates could answer it. You don't suppose that Vladimir Putin recorded shit, do you? So this announcement today, the soccer ball. What did I hear today? I forget what I was listening to. It might have been Ali Velshi or somebody on MSNBC. But they were talking about how when Putin kind of lobbed the soccer ball to Trump, and apparently he handed it or tossed it to his wife, I don't know. But the person that was being interviewed by Ali Velshi, who has lots of experience in the U.S. intelligence and our own spy network, he said that soccer ball, he said he was sure when that ball was tossed to when the ball was tossed to Trump, that every intelligence expert in the United States looked at that and went, oh my God, we've got to get the ball. Now, the ball wound up on Air Force One. How many different digital mics do you think were in that ball? That's what the worry was. These are Russians, goddammit. These are spy masters. Putin kills people who even write something about him that he doesn't like. Talk about fake. Now, Trump calls it fake news. Putin calls it dead news. You know, you fuck with me, you fuck with me, I kill you. I wonder what's in that soccer ball. I'm sure it's probably been sliced and diced into 100 pieces now, unless Trump said, no, it's my ball. He gave it to me. You get your own ball. What?
I just love the fact that the next day, you know, all over Russian state media was this picture of Trump holding this toy that Putin gave him. Putin gave him a toy. And Trump standing there holding his toy with a big satisfied look on his face like, look, mama, I got a toy. I got a ball, mama. It's so horrifying.
And all I had to give to get the ball was all these secrets.
I mean, I still can't believe, honest to God, I cannot believe that after he brought in, who were the people he brought in, like after he fired Comey and said Comey was an idiot? Oh, and by the way, let me tell you about this Israeli intelligence.
Russian ambassador to the United States, who is now just back in his job as being a spy.
Right. You know, it brings those two guys in with no cameras or what. It's like, did we not learn from that, that was probably bad and that he can't keep his mouth shut? So then they send him in there. He gets to go in alone. I mean, this is where I don't understand why Mike Pompeo or why Kelly or anybody didn't say, Mr. President, I'm sorry, you can't go in and have just a one-on-one meeting with a dictator. You can't do it. You can't do it, sir. I'm sorry. You can't do this. Why didn't somebody stop him? I still don't understand what the point was to the whole thing, the whole summit, other than the fact that it was very obvious that Trump needed some one-on-one FaceTime with Vlad to get their stories straight. I mean, that was clear. I mean, they had to have this little tete-a-tete so they could coordinate. They came out completely on message, and then, you know, Putin throws Trump a little toy, and Trump goes, oh, a toy, you know. So they get the photo op of, you know, Trump holding a little ball that Putin gave him. So I just, but I still, who let him do that? Why was he allowed to do that after everything we know?
Calm down, Kathy. You're getting hysterical. Calm down. She's getting hysterical. Trump put in a morning tweet this morning, I think the goddamn thing was written before 6 a.m., quote, the summit with Russia was a great success, except with the real enemy of the people, the fake news media. Jesus Christ. All right, I'll tell you what. We have a little more than half an hour left. If you would like to call in, the number is 470-545-1950. We'll take your call. This is interesting, too, and I think this is reported by the Washington Post. The tensions within the administration have been most evident between Trump and Dan Coats. Yeah. When asked in Helsinki whom he believed regarding Russia's interference, Trump gave equal weight to Dan Coats' warnings and Putin's denials. Trump said, all I can do is ask the question. My people came to me. Daniel Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. And inside the White House, according to the Washington Post, Trump's advisors were in an uproar over Coats' interview in Aspen. And don't forget who's running this country. It's a cadre of complete fascists. Anyway, the Trump advisor said the optics were especially damaging, noting that at moments Coats appeared to be laughing at the president, playing to his audience of the intellectual elite in a manner that was sure to infuriate Trump. Yeah, Trump has all the education of a fourth grade math failure. And there's Dan Coats. Apparently, that's what the Aspen Forum is. It's where all these really, really, really bright people get together, which is why Trump would never be invited there because he's such an ignorant piece of shit. One senior White House official who spoke on the condition of anonymity, that's probably the little Nazi Jew, Stephen Miller, he said, quote, Coats has gone rogue. Wasn't that a Sarah Palin line? After Coats indirectly rebuked Trump's Helsinki performance on Monday, senior administration officials were concerned that the intelligence director could perhaps resign, and they implored Trump to reassure Coats that everything's okay. I love you. Trump tried to do just that yesterday. In an interview with CBS Evening News anchor Jeff Glore, singling out Coats by name for praise. That's what Trump does, doesn't he? Huh? You know, he will say privately to Melania or Fence Post, I fucking hate Dan Coats, that goddamn traitor. Hey, listen, I love Dan Coats. He's wonderful, Jeff Glore of CBS News. He's really wonderful. He's a great guy. He's a wonderful guy. Just like I love Theresa May. She's wonderful. Even though I gave this big interview in The Sun that said that she's just about 3 inches above a dumb fucking street whore. But I really like her. She's really nice. And here's the part that this is what it always gets down to. White House aides are worried that Trump will interpret the comments by Coates today as a personal betrayal, since they came too soon after Trump praised him. Explaining that Trump does not take kindly to slights and that he nurses grudges, one official predicted that Coates' Aspen interview would bother the president more than the many ethical blunders of Scott Pruitt, who was thrown out on his ass from the EPA. Woo! Gets curiouser and curiouser, doesn't it? All right, where are we? This is, Steve in Northern. Oops, what's that noise? Oh, make that go away. Is that gone? Steve, are you there?
No, apparently.
Oh, I don't want to hear that. Okay. Well, Steve, you can try again or not. It's just like, now that's what I'm used to with our phone system. Is he calling back in? Okay. Then there was this. This shows you why Putin is winning. Not the American people, but Putin. Here's what it says. On Capitol Hill, where the reaction to Trump's shifting stances on Russia's role in the election has ranged from mild disapproval to accusations of treason, lawmakers today gave the president a legislative rebuke, albeit a toothless one, on a 98-0 vote. Woo! The Senate approved a measure telling Trump not to honor a request by Putin that would have allowed Russian officials to interview Americans targeted by Moscow, including Michael McFaul. You've seen him on television, former U.S. ambassador to Russia. In exchange for making Russian intelligence officers indicted by Robert Mueller available for questioning. You tickle my balls, I'll tickle yours. That's what Putin and Trump are saying, or that's what Putin said. And Trump, the ignorant savage that he is, remember what he said? Oh, that's an interesting idea. This fucker was going to... Oh, I can't even put it into words. The White House caused an uproar yesterday when word came out that Trump and his team would discuss the request by Putin rather than dismissing it out of hand. I just find this fucking impossible to believe. Well, okay, Kathy, I think it's time for a break, unless you're all busy in there. Looks like you're busy in there. Oh, yeah. I think it was on, let me back up a little bit. Where did I say this from? Washington Post, I think it is. In a brief speech today, to Russian diplomats in Moscow, Putin said the Helsinki summit had led to, quote, useful agreements, end quote. Uh-oh. Now, he said, U.S. jobs and European and Middle Eastern security hang in the balance as Trump's U.S. opponents try to block the path to improving relations between Moscow and Washington. Putin said, quote, we will see how things go. Wait a minute, where have I heard that? We will see how things go as some forces in America are trying to belittle and disavow the results of the Helsinki meeting. We see that there are forces in the United States ready to sacrifice Russian-American relations for their own domestic political ambitions. I'm having a lot of trouble realizing that Putin is talking about a reluctance on the part of American officials to get all giddy and kissy face because Trump and Putin were all giddy and kissy face, at least Trump was, never Putin. So now Putin is saying about the United States, aha, there's some evil shit in your country, man. Me and the Trumpster, we're just trying to make things cool and work, right? A day earlier, that would be yesterday, Russia's ambassador to the U.S., Anatoly Antonov, told reporters in Moscow that, quote, this is scary, important verbal agreements were reached between Trump and Putin at the Helsinki meeting. Like I say, I just find it all unbelievable, don't you? Huh? Trump keeps complaining that people in the United States, including people in his government, just don't want him to have a nice play date with Vladimir Putin. Trump just can't figure it out. We're just, you know, we just want to get together and, I don't know, chase women. What's, there's something wrong with that? Ah? Trump has since complained that many within his own government do not want him to have a friendly relationship with Putin and has been skeptical of making others privy to his conversation with the Russian leader, afraid that they will become public. Oh, well, fuck no. We don't want that to happen. We don't want to know what you talked about, you ignorant, savage bastard, you. It's only the lives of 300, or how many people are, how many people do we have in the United States? 330 million? Yeah, but I mean, why should we know what agreements you made, you orange fucker, with this fascist pig that you so much want to be like? Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, Schumer said today, quote, do we know if President Trump made commitments about the security of Israel? Oh, fuck Israel or Syria or North Korea or any of the other issues the president said he discussed with Putin. You know, the first word when Schumer's talking about foreign anything, the first fucking word out of his mouth is Israel. Somebody ought to inform Schumer that Israel has all the security they need. They have like 200 fucking A-bombs. But that's Schumer. He went on to say, quote, it is utterly amazing that no one knows what was said. This is a democracy. If our president makes agreements with one of our leading, if not the leading adversary, his cabinet has to know about it. And so do the American people, end quote. Oh, come on, Chuck, for fuck's sake. Stop with the conversation. Stop with the talk as if you're talking about George Bush or, somebody who's half rational. Okay, not George Bush. All right, George Bush was maybe a third rational. Schumer Schumer has the word Israel stuck in his throat. You know what I'm saying? He can't get a fucking sentence out without making comments about the security of Israel. The security of Israel. What about, Chuck, the security of the United States? And then I like this, as the Washington Post reports it, as fallout from the Helsinki summit entered its fourth day, some administration officials walked a fine line between affirming the intelligence community's findings in this country and steering clear of saying anything that might embarrass Trump personally. Aw, poor fucking baby. Poor little bloated baby. We don't want to embarrass him. Oh, no. And she's back in the news. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, who's very Norwegian and very blonde and very white, Kirstjen Nielsen told the audience at a separate Aspen Institute appearance that, quote, it would be foolish to think that Russia is not continuing to target the United States. It would be foolish. Why? Could one extrapolate from that that she's calling Trump foolish? Why, yes, one could. But she also appeared to push back against the notion that Russia's interference was specifically aimed at helping Trump. Oh, yeah, okay, Kirstjen. She said, quote, I haven't seen any evidence that the attempts to interfere in our election infrastructure was to favor a particular political party. Oh, Kirstjen. Kirstjen Nielsen, I don't know what's the matter with you. She said that her words, overall purpose of Russia's actions was to, quote, get us all to fight against each other. Oh, really? Is that what it was? No, I'm sorry, Kirstjen, it was not. The underlying and overlaying objective of the Russians was to make fucking sure that Hillary Clinton was not elected, because Hillary Clinton has forgotten more about Russia than Trump will ever fucking know. Hillary Clinton, let's all hate her. Hate Hillary! Hillary Clinton knows how the world works. She's an old cold warrior. Donald Trump is an asshole who doesn't know how his own family works. But let's all go vote for Jill Stein, right? Oh, and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, that Kathy was just worried about, why doesn't he do something? He doesn't do something because Pompeo's a fascist too. But he defended Trump. He said in an interview with the Fox Sewer that allegations that Trump came across as weak in Helsinki are, Pompeo's word, those allegations are absurd. He was very strong. Pompeo said, quote, this administration has been relentless in its efforts to deter Russia from its bad behavior. We inherited a situation where Russia was running all over the United States. Really? Yeah. These last few days have been, frankly, more heat than light. So saith the Washington Post. Oh, and before we leave this topic, good old Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein was also at the Aspen Security Forum. And at that forum, he said that he's got plans to alert the public to foreign operations targeting U.S. democracy under a new policy designed to counter hacking and disinformation campaigns such as the one Russia took to undermine our election and get Trump elected. So you have Kirstjen Nielsen and Rod Rosenstein contradicting their dear leader. Now, I understand. I don't think either one of those two people I just named would be upset if Trump was trampled by a fucking wild elephant in a jungle someplace. I don't think they would give a shit. But Rosenstein, did I say Steen? Rosenstein said the government, our government, will inform American companies, private organizations, and individuals that they are being covertly attacked by foreign actors attempting to affect elections or the political process. So Rod Rosenstein, are the fascists in the Senate or the House still talking about impeaching the deputy attorney general? Yeah, probably. All right, Kathy, can you give me a break? It looks like both your hands are all messed up trying to make the phones work. What happened? You don't know. Well, it worked for a night. I mean, what the fuck? That, you know, that sets a record, right? Okay, we'll be back momentarily. Stick around. You know, one of the more tiresome things, for me anyway, that the fascist doubles in this country, whether they're religious or political or media, what they keep bringing up is that this is all Barack Obama's fault because he knew about it early on during the campaign for president. And Trump especially, being the evil fucker that Trump is, he keeps trying to lay it off on Obama. Now, the truth is, yeah, Obama did know. He had been informed and he believed U.S. intelligence agencies that a concentrated or a concerted effort was being made by Russian intelligence, especially Russian military intelligence, to not just infiltrate both our social media and our electoral system, but to destroy it, to crash it. You know, Putin, and you can make an argument that he is justified in his anger. When the Soviet Union came apart at the seams, Putin was a KGB member, and he had to watch while the American sharks rushed in to glom up what they could and tell the Russians they had to adopt a very austere plan for the foreseeable future. And, of course, immediately life expectancy in Russia fell. I think at one point it fell as low as 58 years for Russian men. A lot of that was due to cigarettes and vodka, but it doesn't make any difference. You can make the argument, and I've made it, that the Russians had the shit kicked out of them by the capitalists from the United States until the Russians learned how to play the game. Now, they knew how to play the spy intelligence disruption game, but they didn't know how to play the capitalist game. Well, enough Russians close to Putin figured out how to do it. And the way you do it, you just kill the people who are standing in your way and take over the businesses, which is essentially what they did. So getting back to Obama, he knew that there was a full-out attack, cyber attack on the United States. And he didn't say anything because, the story goes, he didn't want to be accused of trying to influence the election in favor of Hillary. Now, that would have happened. You know it as well as I do. These little turd fuckers like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh would have pounced like hungry cockroaches if Obama would have said, listen, the Russians are interfering. They're trying to get Trump elected. Holy fuck. Can you imagine how the right wing would have gone crazy? So Obama didn't do it. Now, once all this came out that Obama knew and yet didn't want to be seen as trying to influence the election in favor of Hillary Clinton, I started thinking about it. And I thought, well, it seems to me there's more to it than that. And the more to it than that, in my opinion, was this. You know, for 8 years, the 8 years that Obama was president of the United States, every single effort was made by the white Christians in the legislative branch to destroy him, to utterly destroy him, by refusing to cooperate on anything with Barack Obama. The reason being, of course, Barack Obama was black. And it wasn't just people in the government. The attacks against Obama, some of them were overtly racist, I'm sure you remember. Most of them were not overt. They were covert, but they were still racist. And Obama, even though he had parents of different races, black and white, Obama grew up in a white-dominated culture. And I think like any person who is considered to be African-American, which Obama was, any person who is considered to be African-American in this country understands what the rule is. The rule is exactly what black parents tell their sons and sometimes their daughters when they have the talk about what to do and what not to do in a white-dominated racist culture, because your life depends on it. So what worked for me eventually when I found all this out was the idea that Obama, maybe he didn't want to influence or be seen as influencing the election and go through all that horse shit from the right-wing doubles in this country. But I think there was more to it than that. I think Obama understood fully that regardless of whether it would or would not have influenced the election, the racist attacks on him would have grown exponentially. And coupled with the fact that I think Obama understood as a young man growing up in the United States what was expected of a young black man. Just my opinion. But it really drives me even further close to the edge when I hear pieces of human waste like Trump and his acolytes and his disciples talking about Obama knew about this and did nothing. You rotten bastard, you. I'll leave it there. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. I'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same spot on your internet. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.